Good morning, boys and girls. Our studies together will soon be over for this year. We thank the Lord for His help and mercy in our past assemblies. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, the chapter 6 and the verse 37. If you were looking carefully at the hymn we sung this morning, you would have seen that it was based on this verse 37 of John chapter 6. The verse reads, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Very wonderful word. The hymn that we sung, I joined in the singing of that for the very first time. I never knew the hymn before. On the first evening that I was in the Free Presbyterian Church on the Ravenhill Road to hear Dr. Paisley preach, it was a night in which, when this hymn was sung at the end of the service, as it was sung nearly at the end of every evening gospel service, part of the urging of sinners to come to Christ. And as this hymn was sung, I went out that night, and Dr. Paisley spoke with me and dealt with me. And I learned how that the week before, the Sabbath before, when I had got down at the side of a bed and a home where I was staying with a friend, because that friend had lost his dad and his mother was in hospital, so he was all alone, for his sister was a nurse and she was on duty. He was all alone, and I went over to stay with him. And as a result of my staying in that house and my conversations with him, the Lord took a dealing with me, and I got down at the side of the bed in the room that I was staying in that home, around about 9:30 in the evening, and I asked the Lord to save me. But I knew so little of the gospel that I was not sure whether or not God had heard me, answered me, saved me. I have to say that I felt that something had taken place in my heart and life. But because I didn't know the Bible and the gospel, I wasn't sure. But the next Lord's Day, my parents invited me to come with them to hear Dr. Paisley, and I readily, gladly said, yes, I'll go. And looking back, that was a sure sign that I was saved. Because up to that I would not have gone to hear Dr. Paisley for love nor money. But that night he instructed me from the Word of God, and I received assurance from God that I was saved, that he had answered my prayer a week before. And I have remembered that hymn and thought kindly upon the mercy of God when I heard it for the first time on the 12th of April, 1964. Nearly 60 years ago, 59 years ago, April passed. Well, the verse that this hymn is based upon is more or less a text that I want to set before you this morning. We have come to the fourth letter of the word tulip as we study the five central points of the gospel. The fourth letter, of course, is the letter I, and it stands for irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. That's a doctrine set forth in God's Word, that God, when He deals with His elect, He does so irresistibly. When little boys come upon a packet of sweets in the house, and mother has said, "You're not to have another one until just before you're going to bed," but now they've found the sweets, and it's hard to resist. It's hard not to take one. So we know what this word resist means, and we know what irresistible means, because as you look on that sweetie, the desire to have one is irresistible. You can't stop reaching out and taking one. Well, when God acts upon the heart of a sinner that he, in His sovereign grace has chosen for himself. He works in such a fashion that the sinner cannot resist the call of God to come to Christ. So that's what we're looking at today. And it's set forth in this verse 37 of John chapter 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's a very strong statement. Shall come. No doubt about it. Because you see, God is going to work in the heart of those whom he has given to his Son, the Lord Jesus. He's going to work in the heart of them in such a fashion that they will be drawn irresistibly. I've often referred to Lazarus in the tomb and the Lord Jesus calling out to him, Lazarus, come forth! Now we know that Lazarus could not have resisted. Lazarus could not have said, no, I'm staying here. I'm staying dead. He just couldn't have done that. Because there was imparted to Lazarus life. And the life that was imparted to him made him rise up and obey the voice of the Lord. And you have a picture there of what God does in the heart of the sinner when he is dealing with those whom he has given to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first thing I want you to notice from the verse is this. Here again is a reference of those given to Christ by the Father. I want you to understand that. This special people that are referred to so many times under so many different titles and likenesses in the gospel. These are the people whose names are written down in the book of life from the foundation of the world. That special people that the Lord Jesus calls my sheep, hear my voice and follow me. God's elect. That's the most familiar term by which this people is known. Boys and girls, God has selected a people. Before there were people, before there was an earth, before there was a sun or a moon, God, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge and understanding, selected a people from among those who would spring forth from his creation. And he determined to take that people to heaven. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 10, for I do want to familiarize you with the words of the Lord Jesus regarding this special people, John chapter 10, the Savior makes mention of those that have been given to him. In verse 28 of John 10, he says, well, maybe we better just read what the Lord is saying here to those who were his enemies, his critics, those who were defiant, fighting with him, arguing with him, refusing to believe. The Savior says in verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, he's talking about his sheep, those that the Father gave him to be redeemed, gave him for him to save, gave him for him to call unto himself, gave him for him to lead them to heaven and be in heaven forever with him. If you turn to John chapter 17, you'll see the Savior mentioning these people again. John chapter 17, verse 1 begins, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Again, Here's reference to this people given by the Father to the Son in order that he might save them. Further down the chapter, in the verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. There's this special people then, boys and girls. This special people. What a wonderful, glorious privilege it is to be among them. Are you? Are you one of those? You know when you're one of those because you hear his voice and you follow him. You follow him. Look further down to verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Again, there's this reference to this special group of people who were given by the Father to Christ. He's here praying for them. Is the Lord praying for you today? Are you one of his flock? It's important that you honestly answer this. Look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. It'd be impossible for anybody really to deny that there is such a thing in the Bible as an elect people given to Christ by the Father that he might redeem them. How many times he mentions them specifically here in this prayer? Verse 24 again. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Christ has prayed that those given to him by the Father will be with him for all eternity. Isn't it good to know that's what's being prayed for you if you're saved today? So, the Savior says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, not only has a special people been given to him, but those people will be drawn to him. Because they have been given to him, they will be drawn to him, will come to him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Shall come to me. Isn't it a wonderful thing that those who are the subject of God's love and grace and this great purpose will be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Shorter Catechism in the question 31 asks this. What is effectual calling? What is the call of God that really works? And many of you have come to the Shorter Catechism. Many of you have done this verse 31. And many have done verse 31. Some of you are still in the Child's Catechism, but you'll advance on. You'll come to the Shorter Catechism later. And when you do, you'll realize that the Child's Catechism was a lot easier, even though maybe now you think it's hard. But in the verse 31 of the Shorter Catechism, here's the question. And it's important to take a note of it. What is effectual calling? All right, here's the answer. And boys and girls, I have to say to you that this is the most perfect answer to this question that man can give. This is the greatest theological statement regarding effectual calling that you will find among the writings of man. I can't speak more highly of it than that. It says, effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit. Note that. Whereby convincing us of our sin and misery. That's what the Holy Ghost is going to do. Here's his work. He's going to convince us of our sin and of our misery. Then he enlightens our minds in the knowledge of Christ. He reveals to us who Jesus is and what he has come to do and how he will accomplish that great work that he has come to do. And then further, and renewing our wills. You see, when Adam fell into sin, his will became subject to sin. Then he became a slave to sin. And every child born of Adam from that time is subject to the same bondage and slavery. We are not able to do anything other than that which is sinful. That's our natural state. That's our natural state. That's why when you do wrong and you're challenged, the first thing you do is tell a lie. Oh no, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. That's how our nature reacts. That's how we instinctively act. Because we're the slaves of sin. But when God sets out to call a sinner to himself, one of the first things he does is to renew our will and enable us to do right, to choose right, to love what's right. And then it says he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. I, at the beginning, mentioned how that on the 12th of April, 1964, my mother said to me, around about, I'd say 6 o'clock in the evening, it's a Sabbath evening, we're going down to hear Dr. Paisley, would you like to come? Up to that evening, I didn't want to go to hear anything this preacher of the gospel had to say. I didn't want to know. But that evening when she gave that invitation, my heart leapt with joy. And I wanted to go. Because you see, the week before, although I didn't understand it at the time, the week before, God had renewed my will. And I was now persuaded to heed the gospel. And so I was glad to get that invitation and wet with them with gladness. And that night I entered into an understanding, a fuller understanding of the gospel, and into an assurance of peace with God that has never left me since that night. This then is how God draws to Christ those that he gave to him. The Holy Spirit convinces us of our sin and misery. Out there, men and women don't know their sin and misery. They're in misery. They don't know why. And they think that a visit to a dance hall or a cinema or to a public house, that will help them get rid of their sin and misery. But it doesn't. It only increases it. But when God takes a dealing with the sinner, the first thing the sinner begins to understand is his sin and the misery that it brings. God enlightens our minds. He opens. The light of heaven shines into the darkness of our mind. If you were to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and look out the window, you could see nothing. Dark. But get up 2 or 3, 4 hours later and look out. You can see everything. Why? The sun has risen and light is shining. And you're able to see. Well, that's what happens when God begins to work in sinners. The light of heaven shines into their heart and they understand things. He renews our will. Our stony hearts are changed into hearts that are tender and soft. Ezekiel chapter 36 and the verse 6 says that. I'll take away your stony heart and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Soft, pliable. Hearts that will take an impression. Hearts that feel. When you take up a stone, the stone doesn't feel anything. But if somebody grabs hold of you, you can feel their grip. And God gives us a heart that can feel. And the Holy Spirit persuades us to come to Christ. Do you remember the story that's reported in Acts chapter 16, where we meet a very nice lady? We don't know really what she looked like, but one day we will meet with her if we're saved and we get to heaven. Acts chapter 16 and the verse 14 says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, that's Paul and his company, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. There's what the catechism has been teaching. There's it all happening. And it's happening under the preaching of the gospel. That's where there's the change. That's where light shined. That's where she was enabled to give attention to that which she had never given attention to before. And she received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. That's what the Savior means when he says, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. Lydia was one of the elect, given by the Father to Jesus Christ in eternity. And now she has heard the gospel and she has come to Christ and to see him. So this doctrine of irresistible grace shows us that there can be no uncertainty regarding the outworking of God's purpose for his elect. The Lord Jesus doesn't say, all that the Father giveth me shall perhaps come to me, shall maybe come to me, or I hope they'll come to me. No uncertainty, boys and girls. When God sets out to do something, it shall be done. Nothing can stop God fulfilling his purpose and plan. And that's why the Lord Jesus says, all that the Father has given me shall come to me. All! Everyone. Oh, how precious it is, boys and girls, to see that the Bible teaches that there can be no uncertainty, no doubts about God fulfilling his purpose and plan in saving his people. All! None shall be lost. Shall! No doubts about the matter. And he says, him that cometh to me shall in no wise be cast out. When you come to the Lord Jesus, boys and girls, you can be sure of a welcome. If you hear the gospel and your heart is moved, and you feel repentant, you feel sorry for your sins, and you want to come to Christ, and you approach unto him, the Savior will say, I was expecting you. I have known from all eternity that you would come. And I'll not cast you out. How good it is to read such words, boys and girls. The gospel presents to us a very successful plan made by God and carried out by him. Oh, boys and girls, I trust that the Lord will write his word on your heart for his honor and glory. We bow together. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you know the heart of each boy and girl here. You know their need. O God, have mercy on them and save them, I pray of thee, and move today upon them. Strengthen those who have come to thee. May they grow in grace. And if any are not yet saved, O God, have mercy. Draw them to yourself. Bless the school. Bless the school for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.